How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to Emerald City Hockey Postgame Live. RJ, I feel like giving a big old Joey Decord just after that one. That was awesome.
That celebration at the end, nobody was more fired up for that win than Joey. I mean, and that huge save at the end. I mean, he deserved to celebrate.
Yeah, that was a phenomenal save. I mean, just incredible way to finish this one. Kraken able to eke out a 4-3 victory. Again, if they score four goals, RJ, guaranteed win. It's guaranteed.
Yep. This season, that's been the case.
Almost as guaranteed as Jared McCann scoring a shorthanded goal now, apparently.
I know, on a breakaway, too.
Yep, just breakaway shorties for Jared McCann, four forever. Thanks, everybody, for joining us here. Thanks to Flatstick Pub for sponsoring this postgame live, just like they do all of them. Oh, man, this one, especially that finish, RJ, would have been incredible to watch with people over at Flatstick. That would have been a lot of fun to be there live with everybody. Yeah, I mean, this was exactly kind of the game the Kraken needed. I'm telling you, having Jared McCann center the second line, RJ, it's just like we're watching a different team.
I know. I mean, they play differently. I mean, I love this lineup, and I love how Jared McCann is playing too. Just the hustle from him all the time. I think he's really embraced this role. And I mean, there was one play that I clipped earlier in the game and I tweeted it out, but just how fast he gets from the D zone to skate up ice and support the play. He drives to the net and creates a great scoring chance for Oliver Bjorkstrand right in front of the net. Actually, that looked a lot like a play from last game as well, yeah. One that resulted in a goal. So McCann's just kind of doing the same thing and achieving good results.
Yes, definitely. And as Schultz pointed out with the first super chat of the evening, clutch faceoffs from Pebbles and 2-0 post Wennberg. I mean, Wennberg, he's still part of the team, still on the team.
I know,
hasn't
right?
been moved yet. Sounds like there's maybe as many as four teams involved in trying to gain the services of Alexander Wennberg. But yes, the Kraken are undefeated without him. Again, same question as yesterday, RJ. This was the case. Why didn't they do this back when, say, Sean Monahan was traded to the Jets?
I know, and I feel like they still could have gotten good value for Wennberg at that point, but I don't know. This just seems to have lit a spark under the team. I don't know that it would have even had the same effect back then, just because, I don't know, it's really crunch time now. The guys realize it's serious. If they don't win just about every game, they're going to fall out of this playoff picture, but they're rising to the challenge, which is awesome.
Yes, it is. Another 2 points for the Kraken, up to 67 standings points on the year. I mean, Nashville, we'll see how their game finishes up. But as of right now, at this moment, Kraken only 5 points back of a wild card spot. Helped that the Blues lost in regulation earlier as well. And then, yes, just to finish up the other part of the super chat there from Schultz real quick. Pebbles back in the lineup. Belmar, incredible on the faceoff dot. Great job killing time there. At
that
the
one
end,
at the
too.
End was awesome. Yeah, I know. They just couldn't get him off of the puck there. I mean, they did put a lot of that time left on the clock, and Hackstall was kind of mad at him about it. But I mean, that's what you want him for, that situation, just that clutch faceoff opportunity.
Yep, he was buzzing early too. Great to have him back. Absurdly sane with the Cool Your Jets. Love that. And birthday treats for our best girl. Yes, definitely. It is Afra's birthday. Got a nice big special birthday cookie cupcake.
Oh, look at that.
Waiting for it. Oh my gosh, she's been waiting for that all day. She knows that's been sitting on my desk. I'm kind of impressed she didn't steal it earlier, to be perfectly honest.
Say, happy birthday, you. Afra.
It's five for today.
The treat. As we're 300 in here to say happy birthday to Africa. Afra, that's awesome. Also, say a quick happy birthday to my mom. Also, shares a birthday with Afra. Happy birthday, mom.
Oh, definitely. Sean with the super chat. What an effort. That's Kraken hockey, baby. Kind of wish they didn't wait till deadline week for this effort. Hey, anything's possible, right? Anything is possible. And we will see certainly how the game goes with Nashville. Like I said earlier, I mean, look, Kraken could go on a big win streak. We've seen it from this team before. They are a streaky team. They could rattle off 8-9 wins like Nashville just did. And the next thing you know, Kraken are right there in the wild card spot.
Right. I mean, it's certainly still possible. There's plenty of season left. Also, I can now report that Nashville has lost in overtime, so they don't get that second point. That Perfect. Helps the Kraken. Every little bit does.
So it means it'll be a 6-point gap then for the Kraken behind Nashville for that second wild card spot. Kraken will have one game in hand, will not have the tiebreakers. So they're still going to need the 7 to clear, but seven's a lot better than 8.
Yeah, it is better. And also, you know, Vegas is entering this picture more and more. I think Nashville with that 1 point ends up tying them in points. So they are the Kraken are also, 6 points behind Vegas.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Vegas, the Kings are still in there at only 72 points. They've got two games in hand on everybody, though. But yes, I mean, this is starting to become interesting again, just a couple days after It felt over.
Right. I mean, we on the podcast, we even said, like, you know, do we have to face that this feels over? But the Kraken had other plans.
Definitely. I'd love to see it. Chip with the super chat. There's a reason why Joey Decord's memorabilia now covers my walls. We got to see that reason tonight. Good to see us win back to back without Dunn too. I mean, Kraken really missing. And you know, credit for this goes to Zoe over on Discord for pointing this out early on in the game. Kraken without Vince Dunn tonight meant their ice time leader on defense was out. With Wennberg being held out for trade related reasons, it means that their forward time on ice leader was out for this game. Everybody stepped up. They rose to the occasion all the way up and down the lineup. Like I said earlier, Belmar was buzzing in the limited action he got finally getting back in the lineup. Just everybody kind of took charge, stepped up when they needed to. It was great to see Riker Evans play a good game in this one as well. Coming in, he'd been absent for quite some time, but everybody just contributing and getting the team back on track.
Yeah, I mean, it's been next man up for just about everybody. And I love it on the blue line, too. Evans just seamlessly adjusted. I don't want to see him be a healthy scratch ever again.
No.
I do not take him out of the lineup. He belongs here. He belongs in the NHL, and he's playing great.
Yeah, no, it cannot happen. And then Joey Decord, phenomenal effort and game from him, too. It's been a little while. You know, and to be fair to him, too, on some of these goals, I mean, defense didn't totally help him out too much in this one. Like, you look at the shot chart in this one, Winnipeg, I mean, they're scoring goals right there at the crease. Like, they were right up in his face, but he stood strong through most of it, making the big clutch saves at the end there, like we talked about already. It was good to see another great game from him coming back in after what Philip Grubauer has been able to do. Cody with the super chat, Joey, what a beauty. No stick on that last save. Love this team, y'all. Go Squids. I mean, just talked about it. Joey Decord, he's back, RJ. He got enough rest.
Yeah, I mean, the Kraken's goaltending recently has just been fantastic. They have two goalies, and really, it doesn't matter who's in net, it feels like. They're going to give the team a chance to win the game. If the guys in front of them can play as well as we know they can, like, it just doesn't matter. They have good goaltending no matter what.
Yeah, sometimes that's all you need.
Can't believe you're saying this.
I know. It still feels really weird to talk about. Everybody's over 900 save percentage. What?
Yeah.
Listen, you guys, I respect and have defended Wenny, but having a third scoring capable line has genuinely made this team better. I agree with Light.
I do. I have to agree with it. I acknowledge the importance of Wenberg's shutdown role, but you know, when they're just going for it and all four lines can score and no one's kind of designated in that role, they just seem to play better with that confidence. I don't know how long it can last. You know, I don't know if it's a whole season type of thing, but just the mindset seems improved.
Well, and how much of this do you think is Jared McCann being the center for that second line? And how much of it do you think is also just the fact that we're still relatively new to the, you know, Berkey coming back, but being on the third line with Yanni Gourde and Ellie Tolvanen and Bjorkstrand going up to that second line? Because I feel like that also is part of why we're seeing this.
Right. I mean, I think it's just like the McCann thing where you move Tatar up to the first line. You don't really lose anything on that line. Mm-hmm. You've made a couple shifts where you're not really taking away anything when you, let's say, move Bjorkstrand off of the Gourde line, because Burakovsky is able to come in there and fill that spot just as well because he's playing great now. You know, you take McCann off that first line. Now you have a better second line with him and Bjorkstrand coming in, which improves that line as well. It's just you're not losing anything, but you gain so much. Like, that's the strength of the depth when everybody is healthy.
Yes, as we're sitting at 400 there, it just ticked over.
Oh my goodness.
Thanks everybody for joining us for this one. That is a new record for us for sure.
Definitely.
Absolutely love this. Gregory with the super chat. Lemon line, Gatorade time, baby. Pastor Canner does it again. Berkey, Joey. We were just talking about Andre Burakovsky. RJ finally gets goal, gets another goal. It's so good. So happy for
yes.
him.
Feel great for him. I mean, it's kind of funny that's the one that went in, because I feel like that wasn't the highest quality chance that he's had over the last 2-3 weeks. He's generated a ton, but you know what? If you keep at it, the bounces eventually go your way. And I mean, you could see it in his reaction, just how relieved he was to score that goal, and couldn't have asked for a better time.
Yeah, it was one of those situations where I feel like that's maybe the softest goal I've seen Connor Hellebuyck let in a long time. You know, I'm not going to lie. There was a couple of those opportunities in this one where I felt like, you know, Kraken able to get a little lucky in this game. But you know what? That's what it takes. And especially when you're trying to bust out of a slump the way Berkey is, even though he's been playing well, sometimes you just need to get lucky and then the floodgates open. And I can, we can all only hope so for him after the rough season that he's had so far this year. Sergeant Pickles with the super chat. To ECH, miss your faces. Love the Pickles clan. Right back at you, Sergeant Pickles. Great to have you in here. Hope everybody is doing well over there. And then Elizabeth with a big super chat. Thank you so much, Elizabeth. Was a bit worried about how Joey would look after all the rest. Fears allayed. Our tendies are something special. Let's go Kraken. He just didn't really miss a beat. I know in this one, because the defense kind of letting, you know, Winnipeg get in his face a little bit, and they took, you know, Kraken otherwise did their thing. They kept Winnipeg to the perimeters, allowed a lot of soft shots. Expected goals wise, this game isn't too kind to Joey on the stat sheet, but still, he was there when he needed to be there. And I feel like that's all that matters at the end of the day.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just about how many saves you make. It's about when you make them. And he came up big whenever he was needed. And again, you look at some of those goals that are just really not on him. Those are kind of the few real lapses the Kraken had. But he made all the saves he was supposed to make.
Yep, and sometimes you just got to make one more save than the other guy, and that's what he did tonight. That's all that matters.
Even if it's on Hellebuck's end, that's kind of the one he needs to make.
Exactly. Patrick with the super chat. What an amazing end to that game. I think I enjoyed that save even more than a goalie goal. Let's get those points. Kraken are. They are getting those points. They are climbing the standings little bit by little bit. Oh, man, it is good to see it. Yeah, that ending is right up there, like I said. Would have been incredible to be with everybody over at Flatstick. That would have been a ton of fun for that.
Yeah, and the goalie goals coming eventually. I still believe that for Joey DeCord. It's a matter of when, not if.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. All right, thank you everybody so much for the super chats. Really, really incredible start to the stream. Love it. Coming over into the regular comments here, where I only have I think like 240 to go through. Tammy, Joey's reaction priceless. It absolutely was. I mean, everybody talking about that late save from Joey DeCord, as we already have through most of it. Also talking about Berkey finally getting a goal. Gabrielle, this game was a trip. That last Joey save was incredible. It certainly was. Got another super chat here from Light. Also, I said this in the Discord, but that tip goal that Maddie generated to tie the game, that's 1C stuff. These last two games have been huge for him. I mean, back-to-back games, picking up a primary assist there, RJ. And then I was on Discord when Light made this point on Discord, but it's coming right off of the Jets getting a goal, right? Like, this was Maddie going out there and trying to get his team back on the board, get things going again for his boys, and he did.
Yeah, this was a game of momentum, more than the usual game, right? With all the response goals back and forth. And Maddie stepped up huge there. What I love about that goal, too, is he's kind of circling around the net and he disguises the shot really well. He's looking past the whole way. And before you know, the puck's off his stick. And it seemed like Tatar was the only one who really saw what Maddie was going for there. The Jets were completely baffled.
Well, but that's what I've been talking about, right? We've been waiting for Matty Beniers to get back to that kind of circling in the offensive zone. That's when he's at his best. That's when he's at his most comfortable and confident, because that's the game that he wants to play. And so it's been nice to see that more recently the Kraken have allowed him to do that, or at least he feels comfortable doing that. I mean, maybe that's a product. If we go back to earlier in the season when he started to do that, it was having Tomas Tatar on his line as well. Maybe that's just a product of him not playing with Jared McCann. Jared McCann tends to be more of a floater on the perimeter like that. Tatar kind of goes to the interior a little bit more, and it leaves that space for Maddie to do that. I mean, maybe that is one of the hidden benefits of this kind of shakeup with the lines.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly could be. I mean, they do play a little bit differently with Tomas Tatar, and it really lets Maddie do what he does best.
Yep, definitely. Leo, Belly earned his paycheck with the faceoff wins. He's so good on the faceoffs. He's just so good. It's a tough skill, too. He's just so good. Somehow our power play is incredibly average, but also incredibly clutch from Coop. They are. I mean, special teams in general for the Kraken have been that way kind of all season long. You look at them and they're always average, maybe a tick below average. But they sure seem to come up in these games when they are needed.
Yeah, and again, just like the goalie saves, right? It's not always about how many you make. It's about when you make them, when you get those clutch power play goals. And I mean, that's one of those situations earlier this year where we felt the Kraken just, you know, they didn't have that finish. They weren't the kind of team to fight into the playoffs where you'd have a power play with like 4 minutes left and you kind of knew, okay, they're not getting it done here. But this feels different.
Yes, as Fusion Mix calls it, our power play is narratively resonant only. Exactly. And then Lindsay, well, this is dangerous. I can feel the hope re-entering my body. Dare we, RJ? Dare we hope?
I mean, what choice do we have after watching this game, Dylan? I can't feel any other way, honestly.
It's you got to go with it. Got to go with it. Let's just get back on board, everybody. Let's go. I mean, as this next single chat kind of points out, DJ Singleton, my brain figuring out whether I want the Kraken to chase the playoffs or get a great prospect. I trust Ron in whatever decision he makes. I think that's just what we got to do. We just got to ride the train. Whichever direction it starts going, we're just going to go with it.
Yep, in Ron we trust. And I mean, you know what? After a game like this, I don't mind either way. Meaningful hockey at the end, or you know, good prospect. I just want to think about the playoff chase right now.
Yeah, why wouldn't we? I mean, they're right back in it in a way that we really weren't expecting just a couple days ago. I mean, yesterday morning we weren't expecting it. So it's been fantastic. Gabrielle, if this puts us back in it, do we see the Wenny trade being canceled, or is that too optimistic? I mean, this then becomes the big question here, RJ, right? You've won the two games with him out of the lineup. We've talked about how drastically different the lineup looks, how much more dangerous it looks without him in it. Granted, you haven't necessarily needed his defensive prowess too much in these two games. I don't know that you cancel it. I think if you're Ron, you probably still go ahead and do it, especially if you have so many suitors. That can only mean you're going to drive up the price there and get a good return for Wennberg. But then, I mean, I think you just kind of keep rolling and go with this lineup. You had the forward depth.
Yeah, it's been working. I mean, then it just becomes awkward. How do you kind of fit Wennberg back into this lineup, given with this configuration they're playing so well? I think you got to go through with the trade. You know, maybe it affects, you know, other trades, like potentially Schultz. We don't know how long Dunn is out for. That's kind of the big question mark. But otherwise, I think you just have to stick with the plan.
Definitely. Jessica with the super chat here. Hat, I vote Lars blocking shots like the NBA. That was an incredible sequence from the Big Cat late in this one, RJ. He's certainly on there. Joey Decord making the phenomenal saves. I mean, Belmar killing time with the faceoff. I could see that being something that could get somebody the hat. I mean, Jared McCann with the back-to-back shorties. Tatar with the tip. I mean, there's a lot of great candidates tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I like Lars. I mean, he had 7 shot blocks, second highest total this season for shot blocks in a game, behind only what, February 29th against Pittsburgh with 8. But I mean, I feel like 6 of those were in the final minute or two, you know, during that mad scramble where Yanni went full starfish and Larson was blocking 3 in a row. I mean, what a sequence for him.
Yes, it was. I mean, like I said, there's a ton of great candidates for the hat tonight. We will see. I'm sure we'll have it before the end of the stream. So we'll see. But everybody, let us know in the comment section who you've got. And then Sean, watching the Tatar goal on a loop for the rest of the night. Treats for Afra. Joey. I feel like you could watch the Tatar goal, or really the McCann breakaway shorty, followed by the Tatargo, followed by the save by Joey. You loop those three. I mean, that's perfect, right? I just watch that slowly drift off to sleep, have great dreams. It'd be great.
Yeah, you have a night full of great dreams with that. I mean, what better to help put you to sleep?
Yeah, and I'll give her a couple more treats here. She did have that big birthday biscuit. She did a good job of cleaning up all of the crumbs off the bed. So there you go. Some more birthday treats for Afra.
Oh, yes.
Reading ID.
How old is she, Dylan?
She's 5 years old today. So
5 years old.
Up there, my baby. reading ID. First 10 minutes of the post game are just the Joey chant. Let's go. Really has been. I mean, it's just been fantastic. Northwoods Nick, that Ollivander fellow is cooking too. I know. That's where we're at. I love it. He's been doing really well on that second line, though. I love to see that. Let's see. I didn't even need to hide my money in my tube socks for this one. Great game. Go Kraken from Johnny. Some talk about the Preds game there. Chip, Belmar laying on the puck was peak comedy. It was peak legal. Like, you just do that. Don't cover it with your hand. You're fine.
Gamesmanship. Yeah. And he was very careful not to use his hands, just kind of lie down on top of it. Mm-hmm. It was perfect.
Yep.
That's a veteran move.
It did. Josh, this game really had everything. Evans to Berkey, Beniers to Tuna, McCann Shorty, clutch save from Joey G's. It did. I mean, this was probably the best game that the Kraken have had, just from like an entertainment standpoint, potentially all year, but certainly in quite a while. That's just been, we haven't had so much to really just fall in love with from one game the way this one did.
And how lucky are we? The very next game gets to be against the same opponent, but in Seattle.
Mm-hmm. No, it's good stuff. It's good stuff. I love to see it. I mean, they looked really rough. They looked rough in this one for sure. Let's see. B, anyone else surprised they went Dumo, Lars, and Riker Schultz instead of just slotting Riker in with Lars? Seemed like that would have been the obvious choice with Dunn out for now.
I was thinking initially that that's the way they would go, but the more I thought about it, I know they really trust Dumoulin, especially in kind of that defensive role, and they did just commit to having that be more of a, well, attempted shutdown pair. They kind of had a rough start to the game. I think shots on goal were 10-1 Winnipeg to start with those two on the ice, and they did switch things up a little bit later too. But yeah, I don't mind it in general. But yeah, I was surprised to see, again, maybe Riker, especially since he hadn't played for so long, they might want to ease him back in. And minutes-wise, that's what it looks like they were doing.
Yes, I think that's ultimately what was going on. But yes, you look at say, you know, the stats for this one, like expected goals for and against, and it's pretty ugly for both of those D pairs. I mean, Dumoulin Larson 0.1574, 1.282 against. Really,
yeah.
horrible there. And then also for Evans Schultz, 0.2774, 0.764 against. Maybe we don't see that next game.
Yeah,
maybe a little bit of a shuffle there. I really don't like the Evans Schultz pairing. Like that's one thing. They're both bringing one thing to that pairing. I don't like
it. Right. It's just kind of who's left over. I don't think there's thought behind that. It's just where the top two pairs are, and then those are the two that are left.
Yeah. Angela with the super chat. Not sure what I like best. Canner's back-to-back shorties, Joey's stickless save, or Joey selling in Shepley's petty cheating jerk face. It's the Selly. It's the Selly.
Oh, totally. Totally. The Selly just caps everything off. No one Selly's better than Joey Decord. He's fantastic.
He does it. No, he's so good about it. And it's just because you could just tell it's so genuine with the emotion and the happiness of it. Like that's just, it just works and it's fantastic. And you just love to see it. Let's see. Ricky Riker's going to be a stud. He's so comfortable with the puck. He is. He still continues to impress me, RJ, in his rookie year. How comfortable and confident he is with his decision making and how quick he is with it too. Puck gets on his stick, he immediately knows where he wants to go with it, and 9 times out of 10, it's the right play.
Right. And just, he's not intimidated by the moment, by the league, anything. It just, he looks like a veteran out there. And I love that he's not afraid of making a mistake either. You know, he's willing to move the puck up the ice. He doesn't play any differently than he does in the AHL.
Yeah. Lindsay, 6 points back of Vegas, and we play them twice in the next few weeks. Even if we miss the playoffs, it would be so sweet to take them out of contention. I like where you're going, Lindsay, because yes, it could be one of those. Even if we don't achieve the playoffs, we could have some fun along the way there, RJ.
Yep, some big spoiler opportunities. Yeah, no matter what the Kraken do otherwise. And one of those games is Eberle's 1,000th, too.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's going to be a lot of fun. Let's see, Shay, for my postgame hat poll, I had Lars, Berkey, and Joey. Thoughts? I think you picked three good ones there, Shay. That's probably where I'd go with. Virginia saying Berkey because of the game winner and getting back on the board, although he had it a little while ago, fairly recently, so maybe that keeps him out of it.
Yeah, it might.
Although I think Lars had it recently too, so maybe, I don't know, we'll see. Let's see. These last 48 hours have been the Undertaker rising from the coffin gift for Kraken fans. They really have been. See, that is for sure. Phil, for the 27th time, we went to Jared. Oh, I love it. Why is that not a thing? We need to get Forslund on board with that.
I don't know if Forslund's been on board with it. I feel like the team Twitter account has used that before, though.
Okay, well, we got to get Forslund on board with it. That would be the thing. Because can't you just hear him like shouting that in his voice after a goal? Especially these shorties. Oh, that would be beautiful. Now that's like the only thing I want now. Lindsay, agree with valuing what Wennberg can bring, but God, am I having fun watching this team score goals? I think we're all in that boat. Stratic, this team feels more Firebirds-y. Do you think that just the idea, RJ, of them, because I agree with that, right? They're a little bit more attacking in transition. They're just a little bit more loose feeling and a little bit more fun feeling, like that just looking at their faces, everybody's smiling, they're all on board with things. Do you think the idea of them holding out Wennberg and obviously going towards the direction of selling was kind of just the signal that everybody was waiting for of, all right, it's not our year, that's fine. And then it just alleviated some of the pressure. And we've then seen the team respond like this, where they're just a little bit more free with everything and they're taking more chances and all that kind of stuff.
I have to think there's something to that. I think they've been finally able to tap into what worked for them so well last year, which was the lack of expectations coming off that first season, that inaugural season when they did so poorly. You know, there were no expectations on the team last year and they really used it to thrive. And this is largely the same group as last year. And I think, you know, looking back on it, certainly this is good evidence that maybe they were letting a little bit of that pressure get to them. And now, as soon as it's taken off of them, you see what they can do.
Yeah, I really think there could be something to that. So everybody, let's just focus on keeping Vegas out of the playoffs. Let's not mention that the Kraken need to get in. We won't add any of that pressure back on them. Let them just think that they're just having fun and we'll get through the rest of the year and maybe something good happens. that's the way we need to go there. Let's see, the Canada-Bjorki and the slot connection is heating up to two. Those two are looking good together. They really are, right? Like, it makes a lot of sense too, right? I've been saying it since the day we acquired Oliver Bjorkstrand. He is an East-West player. And when you can match up an East-West player with somebody like Jared McCann, who, especially when he's playing center, can go through the slot, but even when he's not playing center, somebody who's not necessarily going to work towards the interior, those two things line up really, really well. That's partly why I liked Matty Beniers with Oliver Bjorkstrand, because they can both kind of find each other at different angles and interesting ways that you're not used to seeing defenses, especially wingers and centermen, if they're having to play up high, aren't going to know to cover certain passing lanes. But I do think that that is something that didn't always work with Bjorkstrand being on the Yanni Gourde line, just given how north-south Yanni Gourde and Elie Tolvanen can be. Bjorkstrand, a lot of the tools in his toolbox that make him such a special player didn't always connect with the two of them. And I think that's partly why that line combination got stale, and moving him is what was able to help wake them up too.
And do you think just generally this season that Bjorkstrand kind of finding his finishing has really unlocked that about him? Because last year, remember, he just couldn't get a bounce for a goal to save his life. So it was almost better to just keep him in a line where it was north-south.
Yeah, I think there's something to that. He clearly has more swagger this year, right? The way we're seeing him take those shots from really up high on the power play so much this season, and he's taking shots from different angles, steeper angles. He'll drop down low if he needs to. Like, I do feel like he has a lot more confidence to his game this year than he certainly had last year. So, yes, I do think there is something to that. But, yes, I don't know that he needs to really ever go back to that line.
Yeah. I mean, you know, why not? You can put him on any line and he's going to have so much success playing like this.
Yes, definitely. It was finally our turn for some puck luck from Gabrielle. It was. I mean, it feels good. Finally, RJ.
I know. A lot of bad puck luck this season, but it seems to go in the other way recently.
Yep. And then here from Coop, the hand eye for Tatar to tip that backhand was so impressive. RJ, as somebody who can tip pucks, we've spent hours down at the court, just me lobbing stuff up for you to tip it in. You want to talk people through kind of how that situation goes down if you're Tomáš Tatar?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, first of all, if you're Tatar, you kind of got to make sure you're boxed out at the net and you have good position, right? Which he did. Nobody was really, you know, trying to get on him too much. And then what you can do with that position too is, you know, you make sure, I mean, that's a very difficult tip to make because he has to have his stick kind of out. Yeah, here we go. He has to have his stick kind of out like this and bring it back in. And it's a lot more difficult than just, you know, tipping it up or down when you have it kind of on your forehand. But the way you can do that though, it's tempting to want to just kind of swat at it a little bit, you know what I mean? But you just keep your stick in the right spot, let the puck come into it and hit it. And that's the way to get it done.
It's more of like a hooking motion almost.
This like, isn't as ideal kind of as like the Root Studio where you can just grab a stick and kind of do the full body demonstration. I gave it a try, but
it was good. But it is an awkward motion. You're not, when you do like tipping drills, right? Like it's not often that you do that, right? Generally, like I remember from back in the day when we would do that down at the court, the only times you had to do that was if the pass was really off, which never happened for me. That was always your brother, but that, you know what I mean? Like you never practice for something like that. So it just makes it all the more impressive that Tatar was able to pull that off in a game.
Yeah. It's so much harder than it looks.
Now, chat, this has been the best stream ever. I got to throw your brother under the bus there a little bit.
Yeah.
I noticed you throw that in.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're one away from 500 too, which is just incredible.
Can we get there?
I think we can. Pizza Kid, beating the Jets is awesome. Hopefully we can secure a spot in the playoffs. I mean, we're right back on track to potentially do that. Love to see it. Let's see. Isn't it nice to be on the other end of response goal? All the karma from season one. We're there, RJ. We got it.
Yep. Hey, response goals on both sides, though, especially yes. after kind of giving one up earlier in the game to kind of take that momentum and wrestle it toward yourself. That was huge.
Yep. 500. There we go. 500 concurrent viewers. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us. Cole, Jared McCann is just so good. It blows my mind that he's got sub 60 points this year. Can you imagine how many he'd have playing alongside another star? I mean, hey, maybe he can maybe get there, RJ, him with Bjorkstrand. Let's see it.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see how long this can last, right, with the two of them working together. But I mean, hey, you know, we've talked about the Kraken's long-term plan, and I think we might not always have to just ask ourselves that question. I think we might find out for real, eventually, what he can do playing next to a star player.
Yeah, and look, he's got time. He can get there and, you know, up to 27 goals now. So, I mean, he's getting back on track, obviously. We knew the shooting percentage from last year was going to be kind of hard to sustain into this year, but he's still having a fantastic season as really just the most consistent goal scorer that this club has. He's just so valuable to them.
Yeah.
Viren, McCann versus Tanev on breakaways. This team contains multitudes. It's like the exact opposite.
I know. I can't believe it. Just the difference there. McCann should just work with Tanev next practice. The two of them just together after practice, just be like, all right, you know, you're going to learn.
Well, this is what I was just going to say is next practice, morning skate, whatever, RJ, McCann versus Joey breakaway challenge. Because which magic is stronger, right? Both of them seem automatic. Joey Decord stops all breakaway opportunities. Jared McCann seemingly scores on all breakaway opportunities. It would be fun to see like a best of three, best of five of that scenario.
Yep. Unstoppable force, immovable object. I don't know. Will McCann have the same power? Because it won't technically be shorthanded. I don't know. Do they have to have like three other players there just on the ice to support McCann and
practice
five against?
Practice the PK, have him out there and just have him cheating. Just have him cherry picking at center ice, yep. Doing little circles. That's the way to do it. Becca, whoa, Money Puck has us back to a 1-4 chance to make the playoffs. Those Money Puck playoff odds sure swing wildly, RJ.
They really do. Yeah, no, if the Kraken win their next one, I feel like it'll go up another 10%. They lose, it'll go down 20%. I don't know. There's something.
Super chat from that Kraken fan page official. Great win. Love to see the fight and the emotion from the boys tonight. Blues lost, Preds lost, Kings up by one right now. Good night all the way around. It really has been. I mean, things are starting to fall in the direction that the Kraken need them to. We'll, of course, keep an eye on that Kings game. Can't believe I'm saying this, RJ, but if the Canucks want to show up tonight, wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, be fine with that.
One night, it's allowed. So we will see there. Love to see that. Let's see. Cole, yeah, glad someone other than Tanev on the breakaways, lol, especially against good goaltenders. I mean, that's what's been so remarkable about this is that Jared McCann's doing this, RJ, in the back-to-back game shorthanded against two great goaltenders, right? Like he's not going up against scrubs. He's not going up against backups. This isn't against the San Jose Sharks who are up 2-0 right now somehow. He's doing this against fabulous goaltenders, including Connor Hellebuck tonight, one of, if not the best goaltender over the last several years in the NHL.
Right. I mean, Markstrom and Hellebuck, two fantastic goalies, but also two big goalies, two positionally sound goalies. And basically how it works there is, I mean, they're going to try and get their big body in the way of a shot. And if you can go right under the bar. If you can place the shot perfectly, you're going to beat them every time because they're just going to cover the ground they're going to cover. And, you know, lucky for Jerry McCann, he's able to do that consistently. He's just fantastic with that shot. And from that range too, no goalie is going to be able to make a reflex, like a reactionary save. You just have to hit the spot or not.
Yeah, exactly. And the way he's able to do it, I mean, I know the broadcast talked about it, the way he's just able to kind of post up and take the shot. He doesn't need to make a move. We're not seeing him try to deke out the goaltender. He can just pick his spot and hit it. It's just so impressive. Like, there's just so few guys capable of doing that. It's really, really, really fun to watch there. Lindsay, three games remaining against Anaheim, two versus Arizona and one versus San Jose, and then another one against Montreal on tap this season. Just saying, got to put forth a good effort in every game, though. I know people were talking about it earlier in chat. I didn't bring it up, but I'll bring it up now. I mean, we know what happened last game against San Jose. Would love to have those two points right now, just saying. So nothing is guaranteed, but having all those games on the schedule certainly is nice.
Yeah, it is nice. Although, I mean, given this team's recent performance behavior, I'd almost rather them just play the top teams in the league every single night because they seem to get up for those games. But still, I mean, I was just checking right here. The Kraken have the third easiest schedule in the entire NHL the rest of the way. So, you know, take that for what it's worth.
That is definitely something. Shoeshine here bringing up something that I certainly thought throughout this one. That game was so fast. Archie's game like blew by. The first period was over in under 40 minutes, I think. Like, it was crazy fast.
Yeah, I mean, it was really fast. What, it's only like, you know, 8:14 here. It's like we're going to be done with this thing by 9 o'clock, which, you know, that's not always the case, you know, with these early start times, too. But yeah, it went by really fast. It was just it was entertaining. It was fun.
Yeah, no, I think so. So people definitely still on board with moving Wennberg. I see that from Shoeshine and Ricky. DJ Singletone brings this up. Does the Kraken looking better without Wennberg lower his trade value? I'm going to say you go for it.
No, I was going to say, I asked myself this question during the game. I will admit the thought crossed my mind. I don't think it does because, again, he's just a very specific type of player, right? I think acquiring teams know exactly what they're getting. But, you know, if you are an opposing GM, look, you know that we would do this in like fantasy football or something where you have a player you're trying to get. He has a bad week and you go back to the other GM just like, hey, you know, I don't know. I'm maybe giving this second thoughts. I don't think it'll have that big effect in the NHL, but you never know.
I was going to say it doesn't end up working in fantasy football either.
Well, not for me anyway. I can't, I can't negotiate. You're going to stick to your price, but
yes. That's true. I wasn't going to bring that part up. Yeah, no, it is one of those things. I'm on board with still making it happen just because, and I kind of agree with Ricky here. Wennberg is going to be fine as a 3C somewhere, maybe even higher up if it's Colorado or Boston. He was miscast with the Kraken. And I do think this year that became more and more true as the season went on, RJ, was just that, yes, he has a phenomenal skill set, but it's more of a specific skill set, and it wasn't one that the Kraken really needed. Not on a team that already had Yanni Gourde, Matty Beniers. You didn't need a shutdown, lockdown, shadow the other team's best player style center. You needed somebody like Jared McCann who could go out there and be dynamic and try to score goals for you. And so I think this is one where other teams are going to have a much higher need and probably place a higher value on Wennberg than the Kraken did just because he was a little bit too much of a good thing here in Seattle, where for whatever reason, RJ, go figure, the team with Ron Francis as general manager would have just so many defensively responsible centermen.
I know, just doesn't make any sense, right?
Yes. Let's see. You can make trades and still fight on and make the playoffs. We're not trading a point per game guy from Brent Krem. Very true. And I think that's where we're at here. Let's see. Nashville lost. Yes. Every time it just stands out, I'm like, yes. Love it. Yeah. Lowry first star from Sean. I guess I'm not totally surprised. I'm kind of a little surprised that that's
Adam
the case.
Or Dave.
Well, that's a good point. I was just going to ask you, what'd you think of Root Sports there when Adam scores and then immediately cuts to Dave Lowry on the Kraken bench?
I mean, they were kind of hyping up that storyline even in the pregame. They were talking about it. They had a whole segment on their pregame show. So I figured they were probably going to go to it if Adam did score.
Oh, yeah. And it was Lowry's second start. McCann first star there from Sean. So that's
good. Well, I mean, that's good. Fair.
Yeah, good. For
also one thing quickly about Dave Lowry too that I love. I spotted last home game, Joey Decord was the backup, and after the intermission, as the guys are coming back on for the start of the period, he just kind of puts his glove over here and tries to do like fist bump all the coaches, and all the coaches went by and fist bumped him, but Dave Lowry got the most into it. He was just like, "Yeah, let's go, Joey." So I like that from him.
You know, it does make you wonder if maybe there's a little something behind the scenes there between the two, or if it's just bragging rights. I mean, bragging rights would be more than enough for me.
Yeah, no, I think so.
Let's see. Absurdly saying, Canner missed a trick when he got engaged. Could have turned it into a huge cross-marketing opportunity. Absolutely. But he went to Jared. Definitely. Absolutely.
Oh, yes.
If ever there was a time, that was it. Let's see. Patrick, 24% according to Money Puck now, the playoff odds for the team. It's good. It's good.
Yeah. He needs, I mean, McCann, again, happy he's on the deal he's on, but I guess like he needs a better agent, right? I mean, missing that marketing opportunity, that steal of a contract he's on.
LC, RJ needs a mini stick for the demonstrations. That's it.
Oh, yes.
Do the mini stick.
That's
I've
the way
to go.
I've
got the whiteboard. We'll get you the mini stick. That's the way it'll go here.
I like that idea.
And Phil, letting you know, you're doing a great job on Mitch's podcast.
Oh, thank you, Phil. Yeah, appreciate that. Yeah.
And Jenna asking what's Mitch's podcast?
Yeah, it's called Mitch Unfiltered. And yeah, he does all the Seattle sports and everything, but he has me and then Darren Brown from Sound of Hockey on to do a kind of Kraken no table. It's like a round table, but there's no table. So it's the Kraken no table. And so we do that like every couple weeks.
Yep. Good night, Pablo. Let's see. Sean, fans need to absolutely show up and show out for these guys on Friday. That's going to be so much fun coming back to Climate Pledge Arena here, RJ.
It's going to be electric. The vibes are going to be perfect coming back. I mean, and you know, I was worried because after the last home game, of course, you look at the schedule and you think, okay, the next home game is on trade deadline day. It has the potential to be a very sad day for the fans, for everybody with people leaving, right? I just, you know, I felt like the mood would be pretty down going into it, but now it's going to be anything but.
Oh yeah, no, it's going to be super exciting. And as Lindsay's pointing out, only two more away games for the entire month of March are just going to be in for a fun time at CPA these next few weeks. Yes,
yeah, 10 home games in March. It's going to be a ride.
It's going to be a ride, but like perfect time too, right? Like if the Kraken want to get back into it, what a better way than to do it with everybody on board.
Yeah, I mean, again, there's no better way. The crowd can get behind everyone. And like, this is what we've been kind of waiting for all season, right? With the ups, the downs, with everything. Now it matters the most, and now they're at home.
Yeah, no, it's good stuff there. How many wins do you think the Kraken win this season from Pablo? You got a number in mind, RJ?
Let's see. I mean, what are they at now?
They're 28 now. Let's see. There's 20 games left. What do you think is reasonable for them to win the rest of the way, right? Because that's really what this question is what do we think last 20 games their record's going to end up being? I think with the way they're looking right now, with the lineup shakeup, with, you know, we'll see what happens with, obviously, I guess, Wennberg leaving. I think that's still going to happen. If Schultz ends up going out, if Dunn comes back, because I think that'll be a big deal. But with the goaltending, RJ, with the lines looking like this and you're getting the depth scoring back, there's no reason to think that, what, they can't win 12, 13 of those last
12 20? And 13 were the two numbers that came to mind for me. Yeah. So somewhere in there. So that would be 40 to 41 wins somewhere in there.
Yeah. That's very reasonable.
With all those OTLs, you know, that puts you in the conversation.
Yeah. I'll let you take 13. I'll take 12, but I'll get more overtime losses. How's that?
There you go. Yeah. I mean, if they take every game to overtime, they're fine with like 10 wins or 9 wins.
Yeah. No, and if any team could, RJ, it would be this one.
Yeah, actually, you know what? 9 wins and then the rest overtime losses might not be the most fun.
It wouldn't be. It would be something, though. It would keep it as close and like nail biting all the way to the finish, where we would have our wish from two podcasts ago, where the game against the Wild is to decide it all. Last game of the regular season. Let's go.
You know what? I still take that, although I don't know that I can handle all the stress that would cause just going to the 10 home games in March if they all went to overtime.
It would be a lot of fun. Love this from Jenna here talking about the Patreon and how much you enjoy the Patreon. It's a pretty sweet deal for your content. Can't think of anything better to spend $10 a month on. Really appreciate that, Jenna. Great to have you around over there on the Patreon as well as everybody else. So just want to use that, plug that in a little bit. Especially, yep. Hey, we're talking about the Vegas games. That's going to be our live game commentary this month.
Oh man, I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be so fun to watch with all the Terror of the Deep patrons. I mean, it's going to be such a high stakes game too. I can't wait.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a time.
And
it's
we've historically picked good ones for that too. The Kraken have a pretty darn good record for those games.
Yeah, well, it's the magic of it. It's
the By the way, everybody, Patreon link in the description below. We should do that. Well, we've got so many people on. We should plug the Patreon.
Yeah, we should. We're responsible.
We're not good enough about that.
No, we aren't. Everybody knows that.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's see here. After nearly 3 years seeing how hard our fan base love and cheers for McCann, I don't know if I can wrap my mind around the level of love a guy will get when you eventually get a multiple goal per game guy from Coop. I mean, McCann has kind of been that, right? Like it's unreasonable to expect an Austin Matthews with a 70 goal pace or something. But I feel like McCann has kind of been that way. And I do wonder, do you think that some of that's because McCann was there from day one, RJ?
I think that's part of it, certainly. But again, just watching how he plays, his personality, everything, what's not to love? Just the effort nonstop from the guy. I just, if you're a fan, how do you not love Jared McCann? So, there's the skill, of course, that goes with it. And I do think he's a level below like that, superstar talent. And so when there is a proper superstar, they're going to get a whole lot of love. But, like you said, McCann's right up there.
I think the other thing also, and again, not to like disagree with you, Coop, but I also think this adds into it, was not only was he there from day one, he was the first guy to sign an extension, right? And it was in the middle of that terrible first season, right? Nothing looked good about this team. And you have this guy coming out there and committing to them for another 5 years. And I think that was huge too. And that endeared him to a lot of people.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, things were kind of rough in year one, and he took a look around. He saw the organization and just how quality everything was, kind of beneath the losses, and he decided, I want to commit here, and he did, and I think the fans respect him for that, and they'll never forget it.
Oh no, I certainly won't the entire time he's there. Let's see, Stratic, with people asking if Wenberg was holding the team back, has using a stick been holding Joey back?
You know what? If anybody could make it work and just kind of figure out a new style, it's well, no. Okay, never mind. Because he needs something to play the puck with.
No, but I was just going to say this actually solves all the problems, because if he gets too adventurous, right? If he doesn't have a stick, he's not going to go off on some crazy adventure and put himself in some bad spot.
I thought we had decided that was a good thing, though.
The stick is like the anti-anchor for him. He needs no stick to anchor himself to the crease.
Is a goalie allowed to kind of pick up the puck with his blocker and throw it?
I would love to know that. That's very interesting, and I don't know. Like, does the same rules on
cover it? Like, it's not right. Like you can't close your hand on the puck as a skater, but I know that rule doesn't apply to goalies because they'll cover the puck that way or pick it up that way.
Right, but is he allowed to play it with his hand? Is he allowed to hand pass, essentially, is what we're asking.
I don't know if there's anything in the rule book. I'd have to look up the language in the rule book.
It's one of those, you can do it for one game because they're going to write
before the league bans it. Yeah.
So you've got like maybe one situation even to try it. But there we go there. And I was just going to say, if he doesn't play with a stick, do you go two gloves?
Two gloves. I mean, let's see. I don't know it was Dan Blackburn who went two blockers.
Yeah.
Because he had a hand injury, couldn't close the hand. Yeah. So if you could go two blockers, why not two gloves?
I'm just saying, the glove, technically more space taken up on the net.
Yeah.
You just got to get it in the way. You don't have to be great closing with it. You just need to get it in the way. It's a little bigger. I don't know.
It's a bold strategy.
Why not? Zoe, still no hat presentation. Interesting. Interesting. I wonder what's going on there. Other than
the social media team missed it. Missed it yesterday. Game.
Yeah.
Something's fishy here.
Mm-hmm.
Did they forget the hat at home? That's my theory. They forgot to bring the hat.
I think that might be it.
Again, I don't have any details to that effect, but
if they miss it again.
Well, they're coming back home.
Right, but I'm saying if they miss it tonight, if they do another like, okay, yeah, we missed it again, sorry, and then they just post a Photoshop picture or an old picture again, then yeah, I think you might be onto something there.
Yep.
Interesting.
I think I may have figured it out.
Patrick is pointing out, I guess, part of the one downside in all this, the Kraken being back, RJ, and winning games, having a ton of home games. Wait, this means tickets won't be cheap. That is true.
That is the downside.
Ticket prices aren't going to be falling off a cliff here. Maybe as quick as we thought.
Yep. Oh well.
Yep.
I'll take the trade-off.
Yes. Let's see. Sean, really hoping to be at the game in Vegas, bringing the jerseys on the trip just in case. Oh, that'd be a lot of fun if you're able to be there, Sean. That game's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, it's our Patreon live game commentary game, but still, it's going to be a lot of fun. And Light, I think Vegas is wearing their Winter Classic setup when we are there, by the way.
Ooh, interesting. All right. Why would you want to go back to that against the Kraken? I don't know.
Is that signed
ahead of time?
They had released the schedule for the games that they were going to wear it. But here's my question. What did the Kraken then wear? Because it's a white jersey, right? Their Winter Classic setup was a road white jersey. So Kraken show up and wear their home jerseys?
I think that's what will happen. What should happen is the Kraken Winter just Classic wear their Winter Classic jerseys and be like, let's do this thing again.
That would be so much fun. I wonder if they're like allowed to. Is this like the NFL where home team gets to decide the jersey and then like that's just it? Or does the road team get to choose around that?
I think the home team gets to choose. Well, I know that I know games in the past where they've swapped colors, right? Where the mm-hmm. home team is worn white. And I think it's just if both teams agree, they can do that.
Right. So yeah, no. But I it would be fascinating to see if the Kraken, like, have we ever seen a road team wear an alternate jersey like while they're on the road? Because that's what the Kraken would have to do to wear the Winter Classic jerseys. Essentially, wear.
I feel like it must have happened with one of the outdoor jerseys in the past.
It would have to have. That would be a lot of fun, and that would have been fun if they agreed to that beforehand. Like, because I don't know that, like,
and then the game happens. Yeah,
if Kraken needed to agree to it for Vegas to wear their Winter Classic jersey, and Kraken were like, okay, but then we get to wear ours, but after the Winter Classic game, I don't know that Vegas would agree to that.
No, probably not. They shouldn't.
Let's see here. Reasons to love Canner. Let's not forget Cheddar from Angela, of course. Definitely,
yes,
can't forget
Cheddar.
Great, great dog, Cheddar. Let's see. Canner signing the big extension year one was what really endeared him to me. He was the first player jersey I got from the team, from Lindsay there. Yeah, I think that's a lot of it. Nicole, I think it's McCann's backstory that fans really fell in love with too. Greed and Gabrielle, the Jared McCann villain story being spread on Twitter is wild, seeing how he interacts with this team. It is. I just don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, kind of knowing the Canucks and stuff, how they operate and but it's multiple teams that kind of gave up on him and didn't want him. Yeah. But you know, this with Vegas, there were a few of those stories, right? They were the outcasts, they were the misfits. Mm-hmm. And with the Kraken year one, it felt like, given the lack of success, there weren't as many of those.
No.
But Jared McCann, certainly, he's the guy, though. He's the one that Vince Dunn would be the other one. But Jared McCann, you know, he found a home here in Seattle. He found success because he found a team that finally believed in him.
Right. And I mean, and similar to Vince Dunn, found a place where he could advance up a depth chart. He wasn't just stuck below everybody, right? Same thing with Vince Dunn. He was just, they had the misfortune of constantly being put in these situations where they weren't able to get, you know, proper high level ice time. And with the Kraken, they were able to, and they were able to kind of finally blossom into the players that they were expected to be all along, right? And had proven that they had shown the flashes that they could be that. They just weren't able to get those opportunities elsewhere. And that is nice. It's not so much of a misfit opportunity. It's more of just like, hey, they're free now to have more minutes. That's good.
Yep.
I know Pablo had said 20-0 for the Kraken the rest of the way. Williams going bold and saying 15 the rest of the way. I mean, look, if they really go on a run and they go on another 9-game win streak, that's certainly possible.
Yeah. I mean, another 9-game win streak, anything's possible. I mean, then you're looking at maybe even a Pacific Division spot.
Yep. And Sean saying, looks like the Kraken will need about 26 points to get in. Is 13-7 or 14-6 possible? Why not? Greed. I mean, we talked about it. We think 12-13 wins is certainly possible.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, you know, given the way that they're playing and who the schedule is against, right? If you can just knock down those teams that you should beat, it's right there for you.
Yep, Habak, you guys are going to make me emotional. We appreciate McCann so much choosing to stay when we were literally hopeless. It's not totally wrong. Like, it was some dark days back then. Get to laugh about it now, but it was rough.
But you know what? I think the fans actually played a role in that too. I mean, you know, there's the organization, the facilities, everything. But like, one moment again that just really stuck with these guys, and I feel like it's been a while since we brought it up or talked about it because it just feels like so long ago. But that game against Colorado, you remember that game, Dylan?
Yeah,
where the Kraken were down 7-0, 7-0, just getting absolutely blown out by the Avalanche. And the it was a breakaway for the Avs right after the 7-0 goal. They make the big save right on the breakaway, and the whole arena just starts cheering, getting up on their feet and like supporting their team. And that's just stuck with all the guys. And like, they remembered that. And that's the kind of thing that'll cause a player to commit even in a down year.
Yeah. I mean, how could you not, after receiving that much love, that much support, I mean, emotion, all of it from the fans in a situation like that. It's really special. You know that city means business and that those fans mean business, right? And that's a big deal. And that they're going to be supportive, right? They're not just going to be, you know, super fair weather. It's good stuff. Mm-hmm. Edward, the hockey guy, had the Vegas Winter Classic jersey as their worst in his most recent Every Team's Worst Jersey video. I could agree with that.
Oh, definitely. It's, I mean, they haven't had a whole lot of jerseys anyway, but still, it's bad.
Yeah. Lots more love for Jared McCann here. I absolutely love that. Virginia, if that's true, RJ, then they can never bring the hat on the road again.
You know what? Good point.
Boy, the Kraken have really catch 22'd themselves in this situation here.
Yep. Still waiting on proof that the hat is in fact on the road here. Mm-hmm. No, nothing yet. As
might,
I scroll through,
you might
Twitter
just
again.
Have to do some investigative reporting when they come back into town.
Yeah, here, it's the kind of thing I might be able to figure out, or get our friend, good friend Kate Shefty, to maybe see if she saw it or whatever, because I know she's at the game, so that might be a good one to check in with her about.
That is true. That is true. All the Jared McCann love here. I love to see it. I love to see it. Kylie here. Finally, for once, we win while our wild card competitors lose. Blues and Nashville lost. Nashville got a point in OT. Ugh. Yes, but still, that out of town scoreboard finally going our way for once. That is definitely nice to see. Hopefully, you know, things can switch here. I mean, Predators weren't going to win forever. That's good. Kraken.
Yep.
Hopefully, they win forever.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
There we go. Oilers and Flames both had knights in each city wearing their Heritage Classic jerseys after the game this season. So the Kraken could wear their Winter Classic jersey if Vegas is. That would be a lot of fun, but I feel like Seattle would have already announced that, right? Given they announced the games at home they were wearing their jersey for.
I guess so, but there's not really, I mean, you don't need to announce it. There's no need to do it for a road game. It's not like, you know, ticket sales or anything like that.
Okay, yeah, that's true. And then Kaylin, don't the Leafs wear the black jerseys every time they're in LA? Do they?
Oh, is that a thing? Is that LA? Is that when they do it?
It could be. That's,
I mean, because, well, again, I remember choice. You know, growing up a Sharks fan, there were definitely games where the Kings wanted to wear white at home, and so the Sharks would agree to that, and sometimes they would do that. So I don't know, maybe it is kind of an LA thing.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to think, was, no, because they didn't wear white back in the Gretzky days. Like when they went to the Chevy logo, the bow tie.
Well, I mean, it used to be that white was home.
Home, yeah. Yeah, it was, right? That was their home. So, yeah, I think when they wear those jerseys, they like to wear the white at home. Let's see, Lindsay, if they didn't bring the hat on this trip, are we sure they will remember to bring two sets of jerseys for the Vegas game? Lol.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, maybe.
you started something here, RJ.
Yeah. And Lindsay, we need a proof of life for the Davy Jones hat. And by the way, I did just quickly text Kate to see if she has seen it around. I don't know if she'll get back. She's probably on deadline right now, writing away. Yeah. But we'll see if she gets back.
Tell her there's 540 people that need to know right now.
Yes. There we go. I'll go ahead and add that.
Good night, Patrick. Hope you have a good one. Tammy pointing out Ellie Tolvanen also found a home here. Yes. I mean, and we saw how much the fans have really embraced him. I mean, I can't wait for him to come home and for his first like goal at home, RJ, since all the Ellie Tolvanen goal song stuff has gone on. Like they got to play that, right? If he scores.
Definitely. Well, I mean, Benny Drawbars already did.
That's true.
When he scored the last game. Yeah.
Yeah. But I feel like it's grown even more since then. Like, I think that just needs to become like a thing. But I like you bringing up Ellie Tolvanen and Tammy because, yeah, fits in perfectly with what we were just talking about. He is more of that definition of the like cast off kind of thing, the misfit toy coming over and being able to play well here.
For sure. Hey, if he scores after the next one, I think we might have to sing it at some point on post game.
Why would you say that? Now we absolutely have to. What are you doing, Archie?
Wouldn't you take the trade-off for a Tolvanen goal, Dylan? We all got to make our sacrifices here.
He scores those a lot. One goal? Yeah, all right. I'll do it.
If he scores in the next game, got to be next game.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, there we go. Let's see. That Kraken fan page official. Oh, yeah. I forgot to say earlier today, a Flames fan messaged me and said that Dunn was a dirty player and he should have been suspended. I thought that was funny. The desperation. Yeah, that's some really trying to make stuff work there in your favor. That's not going to happen. Lindsay, the chicken parm game versus Colorado was a defining moment for all of us. Was that really the chicken parm game too?
Oh, you're right. It was. That was the chicken parm game.
I mean, it adds to the legend of it, though.
I guess so. I don't know. People remember the chicken parm out of that game. They should be remembering that moment.
Yep. Angelo, that story about the horrible Avs game. I remember Gruby saying, I've been in arenas where they'd throw beer cans at you. It's true.
I was there. I was right there in that scrum when he said it too. I was right in front of him when he said that. And I think Kate actually followed up like, where's that? They throw beer cans at you. And he's like, well, you know.
It's a good one. Jenna, I love Tolvi from day one and was there on New Year's Day when he scored his first goal and was like, oh, heck yeah, new guy. That was a special moment. Everything Tolvi's done, it always feels like it comes right at this like perfect moment just to make it feel so special when he gets on the board.
Yeah, the Tolvi goals are great.
Yeah, and Lindsay saying yes because Justin Bieber designed those Black Leafs jersey and he goes to all those games.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah, I know he's in
and
LA.
Sean also concurring with that. So there we go. Striatic, Ron can tell any GMs who suddenly wonder if Wenberg was the problem that the hat was actually the problem and Wenberg's fine.
There we go. You see, it was actually this hat. Other GMs will buy that.
Yep. Zoe's got an answer for us on the goaltenders being able to, you know, play the puck with their hand. Basically, goaltenders are treated the same as everybody else. Nobody's allowed to throw the puck forwards or to a teammate. If a goalie attempts to do so, it results in a minor penalty. It's from the internet. So there we go. Got an answer
from the internet. I like that citation. Oh, as Rebecca says, the same thing.
Yes. I'm fine with that. That's good. That works for me. I know Rebecca, maybe not so much, but that works for me. As that's somebody good. Who says stuff on the internet for a living, yeah, I'm down.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, by definition, that means everything we say here is true.
Yeah, it's just saying. Let's see. Nicole's calling the Tolvi hat trick now. I'd take it. Talking about the first hat trick. Let's see. And Angela's saying they played the song on the Jumbotron with his hat trick, right? Oh no! If he gets
For his first hat trick, they have to do it.
They have to. Like I said, I just think just for a goal, I'd do it at this point. Kylie, oh wow, we're now only 5 points out of the second wild card spot, 6 points out of wild card one, third in the division. We're back, Kylie. This is a big deal. Love it. It's certainly been exciting. And then Tolvi isn't even at his peak yet, which means he's only going to get better. We need to get him his extension from Habak. It's all of a sudden that's becoming almost like more interesting of a contract situation than even Matty Beniers for me here, RJ, because I think Matty is going to go one of two ways. Either it'll be a reasonable 8-year deal and they'll lock him up for a while, but because of his play this year and the lack of production, it'll be, you know, not an insane cap hit number, or it'll just be a bridge deal. And that maybe makes the most sense for everybody involved. But Ellie Tolvanen, what does that deal look like? Right. Because also it's kind of the same situation. Do you just give him like a bridge deal and kind of get him close to UFA, or do you try to lock him up long term?
Right. I mean, he'll be what, 25 by the time next season starts? He's 24 right now. You have a couple years to work with, but if you really believe in him, wouldn't you like to lock him up at a good, you know, number right before, you know, he really kind of hits his stride and everything? Cause also he's still been, you know, he's playing on that consistent Gord, Tolvin and Bjorkstrand line. You know, what if he you know, starts playing further up the lineup and that shot really comes through. And I don't know, it's a very like risk reward type of contract that Francis has on his hands.
Yeah, it's that's what I'm saying. Like that one feels almost like it's become a more interesting situation than the other one. So I'm very intrigued by that. Let's see. Stratic Money Puck has Vegas at lower make the playoffs percentage than Nashville. I like hearing that like a lot. That sounds good to me. Let's see. Didn't the Kraken win a couple games after that Colorado Chicken Parm game? I remember that being a shift in momentum for them from Edward.
It was. Yeah. No, they did win a few after that. That kind of sparked something.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. And then Ricky bringing up Shane Wright. I mean, yeah, we haven't seen Shane Wright have 15 minutes in an NHL game yet. Yeah, he's going to be good too down the run as well. Oh, it's good stuff.
I like that way of phrasing it too. Just thinking about that. Like we haven't even really seen him play full minutes in an NHL game.
We haven't. We've seen him play on the fourth line and not understanding that he's allowed to stay out there longer than like half a minute.
I know. Once he gets that drilled into his head. Yeah.
Yes. I think he's learned that with Coachella Valley this year. I think that's in there for him. So yeah, there's still a lot of good stuff to look forward to in the future for the Kraken and to see what they do over the off season. But even before all that, we're back in it, right? Like every game matters. They're right here in the heat of the playoff hunt. We've got trade deadline. Couple days away, 3 days away, end of today, so really like 2 days left on that. So tons and tons of great stuff to look forward to for the Kraken here. Of course, we will be here covering it all right here after every game, post-game live, presented by Flatstick Pub. Huge shout out to them. Love having them on board for this third season. It's been a lot of fun with them. We're trying to get another watch party set up. We are trying. So good stuff there. Want to thank everybody so much for joining us. Still 550 people in here right now. It's just been awesome. Absolutely incredible. Thank you all so much, and we will see you all next time.